Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello, welcome to the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Dan Kilpatrick in London. I'm with Tom Barkley in Perth. Tom has literally just got back from the Optus Stadium where he's been watching Spurs defeat to West Ham in the first official game of the Ange Postecoglou era. I said defeat with a smile there because it felt like one of the more unjust defeats I've watched, even for a friendly game. There's actually a lot to talk about, but I will caveat this entire podcast by saying we know it's a friendly, we know it's very early days, but nonetheless, I thought there were some interesting conclusions to be drawn and points to be made. Tom, what were your kind of overall impressions of the occasion?
Well, I thought it was what I hope this whole season will be like, exciting, full of goals. I can see what you say about it being unjust because statistically, Spurs had 30 shots, 10 of those were blocked, and West Ham only had 4. So from a purely statistical point of view, it was a bit harsh. I do think Ange will have learned quite a lot, particularly about his defence from that game. He obviously changed the whole team at the halfway point. But yeah, from a sort of impartial point of view and for any Spurs fans, I think there's a lot to be excited about, but also a lot to sort of maybe worry that, you know, he's going to have to quickly get on top of a lot of things before the season starts.
Yeah, I think the temptation is almost to go, well, Spurs dominated the ball, had more of the play and more of the chances, but still lost. Oh, nothing's changed. But actually watching it, I did feel like it was very, very different to some of the kind of similar results we saw last season. And obviously, again, it's very early days. But I thought stylistically, it was much more engaging than anything we've seen from Spurs for quite a while. And the patterns of play and the quick passing and some of the football in both halves actually did impress me. And I think you can already see Postecoglou making an imprint on these players. I mean, in terms of the moves that kind of stand out, there was that little exchange, I think, between Bissouma and was it Skip? And then Kane dummied it and Bissouma kind of burst into the box. It was just really nice, intricate play. And there were other examples in the second half as well. When he changed the whole team. And so I feel like already supporters can kind of be encouraged that all this stuff we've heard about style of play and Postecoglou's uncompromising front foot attacking football is going to be borne out and is already being borne out in training and these kind of preliminary matches.
The move in the second half, which I don't really think came to much in the end, but almost had me more excited. And funnily enough, I know I've been away covering the England under-21s, but for anyone who's watched any of those games, apart from the final, actually, will know what I'm talking about because Lee Carsley's England played some terrific football right from the goalkeeper. And there was a moment, I think, in the second half where Emerson Royale and Davinson Sanchez
played out from the back.
were playing out from the back and they sort of worked their way out of a difficult press, I suppose, as we call it, from West Ham's point of view. And instead of just, you know, hacking it away or whatever they might have done, in previous occasions under different managers, they just were confident enough to work with it. You could tell maybe for a lot of these players, it's something that they're not used to, but I feel like Postecoglou wants them to have the confidence to try things. And from that, a lovely counterattack sparked. And again, like it reminded me very much of how Lee Carsley had his England team playing. And if there's more of that, yes, it's high risk football, and I'm sure they'll get caught out with it at some point. And obviously, you know, from a defensive point of view, if they get better reinforcements than the likes of Davinson Sanchez, although he actually played quite well tonight, then you know, it should be even more thrilling. But just generally, that principle of playing will never be boring and really could pay off if they get it right.
Yeah, I agree. That stood out for me as well, that move from Emerson and, sorry, who was
Sanchez.
That? Emerson Sanchez. And actually Zuma had to make a really smart block from, I think, a Perisic cross to stop that landing at Richarlison's feet at the other end. And I think I've read something from Postecoglou, someone shared it on Twitter, about him realising the moment he knew he'd got his Brisbane Roar team onside was when they conceded two goals in the same game with mistakes playing out from the back. And he knew that once they'd already conceded playing that way, the fact that they kept doing it and made the same mistake again, the fact they had the bravery to keep doing it, kind of told him that actually he'd won over these players and they were going to keep doing it no matter what setbacks they suffered. And it does take a lot of bravery. And the fact that Spurs were, you know, willing to try that, albeit in a friendly, I think is encouraging and shows that, you know, he's already getting his messages across to these players.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I know I was said before we went on air that we'd leave the sort of Ange sort of reaction to all this from the press conference afterwards till later on. But just because it's quite fitting with this playing out the back conversation, he was quite interesting on that. He said that, you know, there are consequences if we don't get it right. But I'm trying to provide a security and a structure to the players to encourage them to release that fear and play that kind of football. That's the kind of team we want to be. And we know there's going to be missteps along the way. And he also said, but we have to be all in on this stuff. And he said, there's enough in that game for me to show back to the players and give us a foundation to work on. We could have played this game and won 1-0 and not shown any of that, which would have been difficult for him because he wouldn't have really learned anything from it. So he wanted, even after just, 5 days for a lot of these players working with them, he wanted them to have a go and try and embrace his methods. And it has to be said, you know, from behind the scenes here, you know, I've learned quite a bit about how the players have been responding to his methods. And it sounds like they're really enjoying it. I know it's pretty normal after a new manager comes in. It really does seem, you know, Conte was so big on just relentless, almost monotonous, what do you call it, structure and defensive positioning in training over and over again, like this sort of learning by rote methods, which, you know, even by describing it sounds like it could be quite dull, but that doesn't mean it couldn't be effective. Obviously he had loads of success across his career like that, whereas it sounds like Postecoglou, the players are really enjoying the kind of things he's doing. It sounds quite almost childlike, describe his training. A lot of it involves sort of fun games, but it does genuinely sound like it's more fun and they're getting more out of it. And it's sparking creativity, which I think we already saw in this game with the amount of shots and the amount of chances they tried to create. But hopefully that will work going forward. I mean, it's one thing to do it in a friendly, and obviously actually lost the game anyway. But you know, when the big stuff starts, then we'll really see how much this approach will stand the test. But from that point of view, that positive style of play and wanting to create chances and wanting to play out from the back, you know, it looks like they're really embracing it.
Yeah, and it goes back to him saying in his first press conference in London that his biggest challenge would be kind of reprogramming the players after three and a half seasons of counter-punching football under three different managers. He's got to retrain them to play his way and rediscover their spark and be creative again and play on the front foot. And it's encouraging that already seems to be happening. I feel like maybe get a couple of the bads out of the way quickly. I don't think we need to go into a huge amount of depth on, say, Reguilón, who I think, you know, we all probably knew wasn't a defender who was necessarily going to make the grade. Or is that harsh? I don't know. But I thought he really struggled in the first half with Bowen, made the mistake for the first goal. I really don't see him being the first choice left back next season, or being smart enough player to play as this kind of inverted left back. But by contrast, I thought Udogie had a really, really impressive debut. Obviously got the goal. Is that a fair summary? Do you think, have I written off Reguilón too soon?
Well, I mean, it's one half, let alone one game for him. But I mean, it wasn't a surprise that he was starting, because Ange basically went with the teams that we saw in training, open training yesterday, which we kind of predicted might be one half and the other half. The only differences were Tongi and Ndombele and Son Heung-min were both absent. Tongi, it was that knock that he picked up in training, which is an ankle knock, and apparently it's very minor. Hopefully he'll be back in for the Leicester game. And Son, it's not an injury, it's just the fact that he's only had two sessions since he since he has come to join the team. So they just didn't feel he was quite ready yet. So that saw Skip, who was in the sort of not B team, but the second team, get promoted, and Solomon as well, who I'm sure we'll both talk about both of them actually in a minute. But yeah, Reguilón, positively, I think going forward, he wasn't bad. He was linking up quite nicely with Solomon, and that, as you say, inverted fullback, both for Adoghi, who I'll come on to in a minute. That's how you pronounce it, apparently, according to the man himself. And Reguilón both, you know, took up those positions almost just, you know, quite central, just off the penalty area when the ball was being attacked down the right hand side, which should be something to watch out for this season. I thought he was okay in that regard, and sent him one cross, which Kulusevski, I think, pushed his man, so it was a free kick. But he had, you know, decent going forward. But the way he, you know, his almost not much of a challenge at all for Danny Ings's goal wasn't particularly impressive. And if this was either a game to give him a chance or a shop window game, I'm not sure he really either would have won over Ange or won over any sort of would-be suitors from this half. But obviously it's early days. And I do think left back is a problem position. I mean, Adoghi has shown in that half that he's definitely someone who has got a lot of potential. And the more we see of him, maybe he will be the obvious, you know, man for that position. But he's obviously very young. He hasn't played in the Premier League before, and his natural instincts are to attack. So I do wonder how that's going to play out over the course of the season. Ben Davies in the second half came in as a left-sided centre-back, which he's obviously played before, albeit I don't know if he's played there in a four, not very often, and his lack of pace, maybe that's why that is. So it'll be interesting to see if that is something that Ange sees as his future in this team, or whether it's because Eric Dier is not quite up to fitness yet and obviously haven't brought in these new centre-backs either. That's one to watch. But yeah, on Adoghi, I thought he obviously took his goal really well. It was actually a really clever header, but it's some lovely attacking moves in the second half, and obviously has that real rapid pace. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about, I suppose, on that. I mean, what did you make of him? Because second half I was a little bit head down writing my report, so I didn't probably catch as much of him as maybe you did.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good. He just was very comfortable on the ball. He carried it forward well. When there was an opportunity to run with it, he did. He made one particularly strong burst forward. So yeah, again, the usual caveats, but I really liked what I saw from him. I think it would be very exciting if he went into the season as a first choice left back, if Postecoglou kind of just put his faith in him and said, you know, age and experience isn't a factor here. Perhaps I wrote off Reguilón too soon earlier. I just can't see him being the first choice left back, I've got to say. I just don't think he's good enough defensively. I think he's a bit panicky on the ball as well. He was involved in a couple of decent attacking moves. I think he played the pass for that Solomon chance where he was kind of fouled and it might have been a penalty. So we kind of know there are certain players in the back line who probably aren't going to be starting at Brentford. I think Sanchez is obviously one of them. You said you thought he played okay. I thought he lost Scamacca for the winning goal, which was the kind of big moment, or he was just slightly out of position. I thought Tanganga as well didn't look that comfortable, and obviously the whole defence struggled with crosses in the first half for both West Ham goals. Again, I mean, there's nothing we can really learn there. I mean, we know this team needs at least one new defender, probably two, you know, probably a left-sided centre-half, maybe a left-back as well, or perhaps another left-sided centre-half who could play left-back. So there's work to be done there, and you know, from what we understand, the club is trying to do it. So I'm not going to go sort of too big on those guys, because I think everyone knows that already.
Just on Adoghi, I'll talk about the interview in a second, but just if he is to be the starting left back, what does that mean for Pedro Porro? Can you really play both of them in a back four?
Possibly that would be just too gung-ho. It might then mean Emerson becomes more of a natural choice on the right side, because as we know, he is much better defensively as he is going forward. So yeah, that's an interesting point. I guess it depends whether Postecoglou feels he needs to sign a new left back, whether he comes away from this tour thinking that's a problem area. We'll have to wait and see. But I thought Porro did all right in the first half. He didn't catch my eye in the way that others did in either half. Yeah, so tell me about your interview with Destiny.
Yeah, Destiny Adoghi, he's, as I sort of said yesterday, he's a man of few words, but he also has some interesting facts about him. I mean, he was very happy to be interviewed. So it's not like one of those interviews where you just know they don't want to be there. It's just he's someone who doesn't have run on sentences probably like I do. But we sort of got to know him a little bit more, gleaned a bit of information about him. So because you know, we've read a lot about him, and he's obviously had that year out in Udinese. So fans have been following his form and know how, you know, attacking he is and the goals he's scored. But we learned that he, first of all, his Nigerian name, not Destiny, which is Ianoma, means good news, which is, hopefully is an omen for Spurs. Football was always his first love. From the age of four, he was kicking the ball around his house all the time, and his mum was the one who really sort of encouraged his passion. He came through a local team and then joined Hellas Verona, where he was born, and was there for 10 years before he went to went to Udinese and onto Spurs. He's a big tennis fan. He likes his NBA as well. He was up the other night watching Novak Djokovic, who's his favourite player until the bitter end. Marcelo, the Real Madrid legendary left back, is the player he sort of most models his game on. And you know, regarding sort of Tottenham in particular, you know, people might have concerns whether, as a natural wing back, can he fit into this back four system? And he said, no, that's where I started as a left back. He doesn't think it's going to be a problem for him. Obviously, he would say that, but he does seem pretty confident on that fact. He's got signed under Antonio Conte, and the club's changed so much since he's finally come back. You know, is it strange, was one of the questions, that the club you've returned to is so different? And he said, not really, it doesn't affect me because I wasn't there last year. And he seems to really like Ange Postecoglou already, which is something that's been a regular theme from a lot of all the players we've spoken to. He said he's really good, ready to work for him. And he sort of confirmed that he's a man of few words, Postecoglou, in terms of the conversations he has with players. But he doesn't need to say too much, because what he does say seems to get the message through very quickly. And yeah, he just seems like a player who's really ready to prove he has what it takes to do it in the Premier League. And like you say, from that brief, not cameo, 45 minutes today, there is a lot to be encouraged about from that point of view. And let's hope he goes on to prove it.
I thought Solomon was right, but probably not worth a big in-depth chat. I was encouraged by what I saw. Likewise,
I thought he's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree. So I was just trying to avoid having a long chat about every
player.
But yeah. No, I like what I saw from Solomon, that shot in the second half. I thought Maddison, I also liked what I saw. Solomon was probably brighter than him, though. But nonetheless, kind of decent starts for both. I wanted to do Lo Celso and Perisic, actually, because two guys who I think most people expected to leave the club this summer. On the pod before last, I more or less wrote off Lo Celso based on very little. I just said I couldn't see a future from Spurs. That was really based on a feeling and just vibes more than anything else. But he was very good in the second half. And
he's a good player, isn't he?
Does play two number eights. He does seem a decent fit for that role. He can get up and down the pitch. He can get in the box. He can take on a man. He can spread the play. I mean, yeah, I'm now wondering, you know, is a Lo Celso renaissance kind of beyond the realms of possibility?
Well, I was impressed with him, but I mean, you watched him play for Tottenham much more than me, because I only started really covering them last season, or back in the season before, and he wasn't involved at all in either. And, you know, I've seen the odd moments, but I wasn't watching Spurs every week. But it sounds like, from speaking to some of the other guys who were watching him a lot, they weren't really sure he was up to the pace of the Premier League. Is that fair? Was that his main problem?
Possibly. I mean, he had a spell. It was basically during lockdown football under Mourinho, when the Premier League resumed for Project Restart, where he was brilliant and he was Spurs' best player every single week, which suggests to me that there is something there. And thereafter, he was pretty much hopeless every time he played, to the point where you were kind of wondering how this guy became a professional footballer. You know, he was like that bad at times. Wow. It was just a complete loss of kind of confidence. He seemed to be struggling to even kind of complete fairly basic tasks toward the end, and went back to Spain and just seemed much, much happier there. And I just felt that's part of the reason I felt that he wasn't going to make it, because I think, in common with Gil, really, you just feel they are happier playing in La Liga for whatever reason, you know, be it for personal reasons or for footballing reasons or a mixture of the two. And I got the same vibe from Lo Celso. But, you know, he's obviously a quality player. You know, there was a big fallout when he got injured before the World Cup because it was considered that, you know, he'd be a big, big loss for Argentina. Obviously, he wasn't in the end, but he's an important player for the national team. He's rated by, you know, Messi and co. He's obviously a big money signing. So I do wonder, you know, I do wonder. And again, it may be that he doesn't want to be here. And Postecoglou's made that clear, hasn't he? That you have to want to be here. It's not enough to be good enough. You have to buy into his project fully. And it may be that Lo Celso is not someone that's prepared to kind of fully buy into being at Tottenham, which will kind of decide his fate, whether, you know, he plays well or not. But yeah, I think, again, early days against a weakened West Ham side, he didn't seem to be taking it quite as seriously as Spurs. But nonetheless, I thought he had a very good second half.
Yeah, I think you've not, you know, the nail on the head there, really. It's just all about his motivation, whether he wants to be here. But he's clearly...
And the same with his own belay. I mean, we haven't seen him play yet, but...
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame he was injured, really, because it felt like, you know, we're excited to see the Maddison and Ndombele and Bissouma sort of triumvirate. But I guess the fact that Lo Celso wasn't the man to come in when Ndombele sort of went out and skip instead, I don't know if you read anything into that. But yeah, no, he definitely took his chance in the second half. So one to watch, I guess.
Yeah. And with both of them, I think we know that it's not about quality. I think they are good players. It's just motivation and ability.
You say that, but I feel like actually Lo Celso's had a better couple of years, you know, away from the club than Ndombele. I think Ndombele's stocks dropped quite a lot when the fact that he didn't really pull up any trees at Lyon, wasn't really a regular at Napoli. You wonder if it's, you know, got through to him that it's something that he needs to improve on rather than just being in the wrong environment at Tottenham. But obviously, as it's all caveated with the fact that they both have played under defensive minded managers, and they could all be, you know, their attacking prowess could be unlocked by Postecoglou. You would mention Perisic as well. I mean, even Perisic was someone that I think a lot of us thought would leave, and he still might, albeit his huge wages feels like that's going to be an issue. But I thought he was really good when he came on. Obviously, playing in a left wing position, which he barely played in at all when he signed under Conte. I really thought, you know, I presumed he'd be the left wing back in that system, but I thought there would be more times where we'd see him almost play. At times, I thought he might play centre forward under, you know, when Kane wasn't there. I know they had Charlison too, but I thought they'd use him more in the forward areas more often than they actually did under Conte. So it was nice to see him be able to do that, and we know his delivery is very, very good, which is where both goals effectively came from. And he had a nice composure on the ball. I mean, I think it's funny, we've sort of written him off, but he's obviously he's had a fantastic career. It's just, I think it's the fact that he just didn't hit the heights, the sort of dependable heights that we thought he would last season. But again, this is a friendly, as you said from the top. The pace of the Premier League, I still have sort of doubts about it. But the only thing with Perisic, and I said this a few times last season, is it almost feels like throughout his career, there have been times when people sort of have written him off and he's come back strong. In fact, that semi-final against England almost summed it up. He wasn't that great in that first half, like Croatia overall. And who was it who obviously, I think, got the equaliser and set up the winner? So it's like, write him off at your peril. And if he's still up for it, again, back to motivation, then maybe he might be quite an asset next season.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was an absolute banker to leave this summer because he was clearly, more than anyone, a Conte signing. And he was clearly picked by Conte to play a very specific role in Conte's system and came to the club for Conte. So I just thought, well, he's going to go. Not to mention, you know, his wages, his age, and the fact that he did look a bit off the pace in the Premier League. But the commentator on Spurs Play, where I was watching it, which was hilariously chaotic for the first half an hour, by the way, we had kind of Korean commentary and various different tech issues. The commentator pointed out that he got 12 assists last season. And now I know a lot of these were set pieces, but he got another two today. And I just feel if you were playing, say, you know, one of the smaller sides in the Premier League and you're looking for a late goal, you know, they were setting up with 11 men behind the ball and Spurs were struggling to break them down. You know, he wouldn't be a bad person just to come on, put wide and put crosses in the box because they, you know, he can cross with both foot very well and he tends to sling it in quite nicely and create something. So I do wonder, you know, if he could be an interesting impact player last season. Sorry, next season. We'll see. Again, yeah, it comes down to kind of wanting to be at the club and play the football. But I think the fact that he's gone on tour, and I did wonder, which I think I said yesterday, if you know, a few more players who have been tipped to leave the club would have just been left at home. And I know Postecoglou said that he gave Lloris the choice, but the fact that Perisic is out there and, you know, seemingly contributing, you know, may suggest that it's not as cut and dried as we thought. So a quick word, we've got a few minutes left, on Vicario, and another debutant. I mean, didn't have a huge amount to do, but I saw some suggestion on social media that he was a bit weak for the West Ham goals. I mean, is that harsh?
Well, I was actually asking that to the guys after that first the header. I mean, we came to the conclusion that Ings was, you know, so near the goal, and it was a pretty powerful header that I don't, maybe that's harsh. And I thought, you know, West Ham only had three shots, didn't they? They had four shots, didn't they? But the other one could well have gone in, the bone sort of drive from distance, and it was a pretty solid stop. I don't think he really sort of wowed me from that performance. And there were a few times, you know, on the ball, it was almost a little bit nervy for someone who's, you know, one of his biggest strengths is supposed to be playing out from the back. But also, he wasn't bad in that regard either. So I can't really say I sort of got that much from that particular performance from him. And there was one time where he cleaned out Tanganga and Ogbonna early doors in the first half. So I wonder if, you know, going for a punch rather than a catch, I wonder if we might see more of that this season. But we're supposed to be expecting him to put his foot on the ball a bit like Jason Steele at Brighton this season. I don't think I really noticed any of that in this game, or if I did, I must have missed it. So again, solid, but nothing really to write home about on that front.
I guess my concern with him is I think he will take a while to get up to speed with the Premier League, whereas obviously David Raya wouldn't have, albeit for more than twice the money. What's the plan for the next kind of few days in Perth, and you're going to Bangkok fairly soon?
Yes. We've got a few more bits and bobs to do the next couple of days. We're speaking to a few more players, and hopefully the manager. So we can brief you on that soon. We actually spoke to Manus Solomon after the game, of which we're using some stuff tomorrow about him personally. But he did talk about Harry Kane, who we haven't really mentioned today, even though national papers, including my own, are obsessed with him at the moment. So he did say that Harry's been one of the most welcoming, or very welcoming to him, and that, you know, he really hopes to play. But we all hope to play with him, which we sort of saw as Tottenham players wanting to stay, which is what you'd expect. But we also spoke to Yves Bissouma, so that'll be something else that will come out maybe tomorrow night, I think, English time. And hoping to speak, like I say, to a few more players. And then on the 21st, which I'm forgetting what day of the week that is now, I think it's Saturday, or is it Friday. We'll be flying off to Bangkok for the Leicester game. And then it'll be on to Singapore for the final leg against Lion City Sailors, which I keep forgetting the name of the team, who apparently got absolutely thrashed in their own friendly recently. So that could be a bit of a cricket score potentially. Not that you could read anything into it if it is. But yes, there's still quite a bit to go. It's been a busy couple of days, but it's a lot of fun, and you know, very lucky to be out here.
Great. Well, hopefully we will do another pod with you in the next few days, catch up with what's happening in Perth, and then review that game against Leicester at some point, probably early next week. Okay, well, look, thanks for joining us, Tom. Hope you've enjoyed that podcast. As I said, we will be back, hopefully, with Tom from Spurs pre-season tour and the rest of us from London. But for now, bye for now, and come on, you Spurs.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
L-E-D-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.